Hi, welcome to Navigating the Spectrum with Michelle Portlock. I'm your host, Michelle Portlock, and I'm so glad you joined me today. Today, I have two guests, which is a little unusual, and I'm very excited about it. I would like to introduce you to Dr. David and Laura Palmer, and they are the founders of Inclusion Matters Education Services, with a mission to empower parents as advocates for their neurodivergent children. They bring a unique blend of professional expertise and lived experience to the table. Dr. David Palmer has a doctorate in special education and nearly 30 years as a teacher and administrator. He's not just an educator, speaker, and advocate. He's also a parent who understands the challenges and opportunities that come with neurodiversity. Laura Palmer, the operational force behind Inclusion Matters, has been a tireless advocate for their five neurodivergent teenagers. Her hands-on experience navigating educational, adoption, and medical systems offers invaluable insights for parents and educators alike. Their journey began years ago when they adopted five siblings, each with their unique neurodivergent traits. This personal experience fueled their passion for advocacy and led to the founding of Inclusion Matters, a platform committed to inclusion, diversity, equity, and access in education. Today, they offer a range of services from educational assessments to advocacy and consulting to educational coaching, all designed to empower parents and educators. Their work is rooted in the belief that every student deserves the opportunity to learn and thrive, and they are here to provide the necessary resources to make that a reality. I would like to thank you both for being on the podcast. I'm so happy to have you with me today.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for having us.
Thank you. We're just excited to be here.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to have you. And I love just jumping in and getting to the heart of what you do. So I want to ask both of you, I'll start with you, David. What does inclusivity look like to you?
Inclusivity to me looks like family. So I like an analogy of going on a family trip. So let's say, Michelle, we're going to invite you to come with us on a family trip.
I'm in.
You're in. All right. We're going to see all kinds of sights. You're going to get to, you know, experience what's going on. And so as we're getting ready to go and we're planning everything, if we are being inclusive, are going to include you, we're going to make sure that you get to be a part of everything. So you get to ride in the van with us. You get to see the same sights we do, go to the same amusement parks, join us for meals. And we make sure that you have that opportunity to participate. But really, you're an invited guest. Mm-hmm. What I like to think about is belonging, mm-hmm. where your preferences and who you are matter so much that you belong as part of our family. And there's a difference there. We can include you as a guest, or you can really be a value part of our family and your opinions, your preferences, your needs, your strengths. So you get to join in when we're making decisions about, you know, what ride you want to go on in the amusement park. You get to be a decision maker in where we're going to eat. We're even going to put you to work like all the rest of the family. Right. And then you're going to even get to join in some of the fun banter we have as a family and joking, and you'll get to experience firsthand, you know, the arguments and even be able to join in with that. And so when it comes to inclusion and belonging, we like to put the emphasis on belonging. So when it comes into education setting, we can include students, make them feel a part of it. But then there's this sense where we want them to feel like they truly belong, that they're valued, that they can contribute, that they can use their unique qualities. And so it's all about really relationships and connecting with people and building community. And that's what inclusion is all about.
Well, I love how you explained that. And I really connect with that. One of the words that kept coming to my mind was value. You actually said that in how you described inclusion. And I just think of me being able to join a group and I'm valued for all of who I am. Uh-huh. And I really love that. Laura, what are your thoughts on this? Do you have anything to add, or do you feel pretty good about where we're going with this?
You know, I love this quote, inclusion is not bringing people into what already exists. It's making a new space for a better, or a better space for everyone. This is by Rachel
Olivero. Yes.
That was great. But yeah. even just that. Being able to be that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that those spaces, I think that's what we're trying to create. And we will get to, I want to ask about your parenting journey. We're not quite there yet, but I'm really excited to get there. But I love that you've learned it on a personal level and now you're taking it outward to help teach those in community and beyond your own immediate community about what inclusion is. And I love it because your business is actually Inclusion Matters Education Services. So it's that word is kind of everywhere for the two of you. So I know it is so important. I do want to ask you, what methods of teaching inclusivity have you found to be most meaningful?
Well, it's been a journey to teach about inclusivity, and we would hope that there were more people who get it, but it's been, the idea has been around, especially in education, for a very long time, but it's still taking a lot of effort and time to help teach folks what inclusivity is all about. I think really comes down to four key components that we think of, and how we parent, how I work as a professional in the education system. And these four simple things are connection, caring, communicating, and creating. So connecting, whether at home, whether at school, parents, teachers need to build more capacity to connect with children and connect with others, to understand who they are and their strengths and their struggles, but also to build that empathy. And that comes out in the care. So it's not just having a superficial relationship, but building inclusivity means we really do care for each other. And we care for ourselves, even as parents. We want to make sure we're caring and attending for our needs. And then we have open communication. We're talking, we're not just one-sided, you know, and when I was growing up, it was children were seen and not heard, right? And nobody really wanted to know why I was crying. They just told me to stop crying or they'd give me something to cry about. And it was never really that communicating me on a human valued level, even as a child. And so when we connect and when we care and when we're communicating, then we begin to create those authentic spaces where people can really belong and be who they are and not worry about being judged on what they are, what they're not, or think they have to pretend to be something that they're not. And I think even in the ADHD and autism community, there's so much, at least the kids I work with, who feel like they have to put on this mask or this show to be accepted. And what we want to promote is that you're accepted, you are loved, you are valued because you are who you are and you're unique with all of your strengths and those areas where you need to grow. That's where we all come together and fit together. And so even as a family, you know, we're not perfect in any way. Okay. And we're still learning how to be inclusive as a family and how to make each other feel like they really belong in the family. But at the end of the day, I'll say this, Michelle, my kids, they'll get on each other relentlessly, but if somebody else from the outside goes to any of them, they're going to bond together and they're going to fight for each other. And so that's where you know inclusivity is not something that's just taught. It's something that's caught. So it has to be modeled. It has to be modeled in our attitudes and how we relate to other people, how we talk about other people, how we open up our lives to be vulnerable to other people. So all of those, it's not a formula. It's not a one size fits all. We have a lot of books on my bookshelf about how to build inclusive, you know, inclusive schools and inclusive families. But really coming down to those four things, connection, care, communication, and creating those spaces is valuable.
So solid. And I love the four C's. I love something that I can remember. So I appreciate how you shared that. First of all, that's the kind of learner I am. So I connected with that. And then also, I just want to say that something that you said you were talking about your family and how they would support each other, the kids and the family. And I think something that I've learned over all these years of parenting is it really does start with me. And it starts with my husband, and it starts in our own home. And one of the simple things that I have learned is that part of inclusion means actually accepting our kids for exactly who they are first. And I don't, sometimes I think parents get out into the world and they feel like this looks hard or this looks different, and our parents judging me. And maybe instead of just embracing and showing people, hey, this is who we are and we are good with that, there might be a little bit of insecurity there for a time. And I think that once you shift from insecurity to nothing but support and acceptance, then it changes everything for every member of that family unit. And it starts there, but it also works outward into those that we're coming in contact with, because they see our acceptance and our embracing of our family members and maybe who we are too. And then they kind of see what that looks like. We're modeling for them.
Yes.
And I think that has a really powerful impact. It seems so small, but it is powerful.
It really is. It really is. What you just said, it just hit on so many levels of everything that we were, because even, I know we're going to talk about this, but when we were raising that, they're all teenagers now. We have five of them. But when they were younger, we had no idea about just everything. My husband was a high school teacher when we first got them. And I was able to be a stay at home while we took care of them. But we were back on the old school parenting of, you know, this is how it is. And it's just, you know, one, two, three, do what we said, or respect now, or, and we just had no idea. And even just, I had mentioned, and I'm even starting this little series that I'm doing about, I wish I knew then what I know now. There's so much that I would have been able to change, even how we're parenting and how I'm neuroaffirming who they are, and just accepting who they are and not trying to change them, not trying to be somebody else. And even like you mentioned how, you know, we would go out to restaurants or stores and I would, oh my gosh, are we going to have a meltdown? Am I the one going to be embarrassed? And are people going to look and judge me? And just the looks that we would get. And, you know, unfortunately, they had to endure some of these, like, oh, come on, stop it. You know, just why can't you, you know, be like this? Or, and I am so thankful that we continue to educate ourselves, research, and that's all I did as they were younger. But to be able to grow and to be able to understand and be able to, yes, accept them for who they are, their strengths. And that's what we tell them all the time as they're now teenagers. We have a 18-year-old. He's a senior. We just finished talking to him about, hey, what is it going to look like? What are we doing now? What are we moving forward to? We have a junior in high school, too. And again, the same kind of moving into new milestones, moving into new things of, okay, this is what it's looking like. We're going to continue to encourage you.
Well, it's having a lot of grace on ourselves.
Yes. Compassion for ourselves. Yes. Maybe the mistakes we've made and will continue to make because we're human, but having the compassion to say, yeah, I maybe didn't do that right. And I'm going to try to do that differently.
Yeah.
Now, and being okay that we made a mistake. That's how I try to show up for me. I didn't mean to take that. I took that right from you. You brought up the gold and I just swiped it.
Take it.
That's great. No.
But I just, Laura, you were talking about your kids, and what I understand about the creation of Inclusion Matters Education Services is that some of that inspiration, maybe even all of that inspiration for starting this company, began years ago when you adopted these five siblings. And I really want to know more, because I am super curious slash nosy slash I don't know, but I just like, I need to hear more about this. That is a huge commitment. And I just am so interested in learning more and knowing how this changed your lives.
Really good for the good. Like we said,
it came on us. We were, you know, we have our oldest, who's now married in her 30s, 31. Mm-hmm. You know, she was getting ready to be a senior in high school. And so we had already had conversations about what are we going to do? We're going to be empty nesters in our early 30s, you know. And boy, life has some different plans for us. And so really just being able to see that need and see them so tiny and needing that attachment, needing that connection, needing that care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, Laura always says when they were little and they came into our home first through foster and then adoption, you know, we were very thankful they had 10 fingers and 10 toes and relatively healthy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as they began to develop, and especially as they started going to school, that's when we started noticing things.
Yeah. And they're all siblings, but they came to us kind of like the two older ones came into, and for privacy's sake, I don't want to go into exactly what the ramifications or how that came about. And it's their story to tell. And that's what we've always talked about, you know, even what they're diagnosed with. I think that's their story to tell, but as we've gotten to start to have we got the two older ones and then we got the middle one, our middle child, and then we started the adoption process and we were fostering, like David said, and going through that and starting to, again, just being able to start researching and looking at, okay, what are we doing?
How can we support them? How can we help them? Because we realized that, again, those traditional ways in which we were raised were ineffective.
Yeah.
And they're actually more harmful.
Yeah. I don't know, the certain things that we learned early on, this isn't working. This isn't working for them.
Or when they said, go ahead, discipline us, go for it, it's not going to bother me, you know, and we're like, okay, and we're going to have to, and you know, and in a sense, as we've been learning more and more, even about their nervous systems and what adoption is and what they're storing in their bodies and how that is all intricately woven together. That's why it's so important for us, like, to see them as complex whole children, head, hearts, and hands. They're not diagnoses. They're not just adopted kid. There are children. And they're so, like, all six of them are so much like us in so many ways that, you know, we've grown. And and so going back to the same thing and hoping your listeners who are parents understand having that compassion that we're growing. In fact, we're learning probably more about ourselves from them than we're teaching them at times, because, you know, we see those things even in ourselves. So we're having to be compassionate on ourselves and being able to look at what's going on and say, okay, let's take a step back.
Mm-hmm. And because of all of that, I think that that's where we've just poured out to not only just our family, but to others around us, that we were I'm so much more sympathetic. Just when I see somebody, a mom or a child crying now, it's like, I know you're right there. I'm coming alongside of you. And how can we do that? And being able to really support them. Mm-hmm.
And that's really And that's really what Inclusion Matters is. It's not so much a business. We're not running it just like a company. We're really making it an extension of our family.
Community.
We're building a community around family. And as you know, we're young in this process of Inclusion Matters, but that's what seems to be resounding back to us is that we want you to be part of our family. We want you to know that we're not perfect. We struggle. We still struggle, but we're growing. And when we can help each other and be there for each other, not just giving advice or saying, hey, try this, but saying, hey, I get it. I hear you. I get it. I feel it. I see you. And there's just great comfort and great strength in that.
There is. And I feel like in doing that, you're also pulling people out of a potentially isolating space that many parents raising kids that are neurodivergent or that have needs that are considered not typical to the communities that they're a part of. I think that it often feels isolating because for me, I'll speak for myself, I often felt misunderstood in my parenting, and I often felt like my children were misunderstood. And I became very protective of that initially. And still I feel that protection, but the way that I do that, the way I protect them is by fully embracing them.
Yeah.
That's the way I've chosen to protect them now. And I've learned that, and I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, but that when I would feel defensive, defense actually turns people off. They actually turn away from you. But when you show compassion and love, then they turn towards you. And those are some of the best teachers for those that we're coming in contact with. And it's patience. And it's so you're kind of, as a parent, supporting, advocating, loving, accepting your children. And then on the other side, you are advocating, educating, teaching. There's all of these. So you're kind of a lot of things for a lot of people. And I think sometimes that leads to feeling, number one, burnt out and exhausted from more often. And then also to just kind of what I said earlier, which was just feeling a little isolated. And so I love that you are creating this community where parents can feel validated in what they're feeling. And don't you think it's interesting when you meet other parents who are raising children that are also neurodivergent, you kind of like you make eye contact. Or maybe no eye contact. I don't know. But you're like, our hearts just connected and I get you. And you have nothing to explain to me. I just get you.
Yes, exactly.
There's something beautiful in that.
Just within I'm sorry to interrupt you,
no, but
when you're mentioning about that community, I mean, just within this, because I totally, say exactly the same thing. It is very isolating, even within family. Sometimes family members don't understand, like, why aren't you disciplining them the way that I would have disciplined them, or these types of things. So that could be very isolating. But yeah, just within this, even just a group of social media people that I have gotten to know with the neurodiverse, it's just that one heart support that you just feel a sense of. That's great.
I love that one heart support. I'm going to hold on to that. Thank you, Laura. I want to ask both of you, how can listeners contact Inclusion Matters Education Services if they need your help? And also, I guess what I want to ask even before that, I want to know how they can contact you, but what kind of services would you be providing if a parent was saying, should I contact them?
Sure. So keeping in mind that head, heart, hands, and the connect, care, communicate, create, that's really what we're about. So in my specialty, that looks like helping parents understand really what's going on and not looking for a diagnosis, but we really do strength-based assessments and interviews and evaluations because our end goal is how can we best support the child at home and at school. So we want to connect with those, you know, because a lot of times in the medical field or the therapy field, it's very, even in education, it's very sterile. And so we want to provide service where we would come alongside just like we do our own kids and not say, hey, what's wrong with you? But what's strong with you? What are you working on in the strengths that you have? And so we help with that. And then I can also help in coming up with plans or suggestions even for school or for home as parents based on that information. And then we can help them communicate the needs of their children to therapists and to the schools through advocacy and consulting. We love to care for families through educational coaching, which is different than tutoring. Mm-hmm. It's not just subject. It's, again, whole child based. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at not only their academic needs, but their social, emotional, behavioral needs as well. And then how they're connecting in community to be strong and grow. And then that's what we're doing, creating that community. And that's really kind of becoming the big picture, is just points of connection that we can have with other families to serve them and to help them to get what they need as well. So one way is our website, Inclusion Matters Ed. So it's inclusionmatters.ed.com. So okay. that'll get you to all the main information there. But we really are getting pretty savvy with the Instagram. As I said, the Instagram and the Facebook.
No, don't age us.
I embrace my oldness. But if they go to Instagram at Inclusion Matters Ed, again, Inclusion Matters ED, they can find us. I am ESDoc on Instagram, so they can also reach personally.
Okay. Okay.
And then through our website, hello@inclusionmatters.com. And if you got a rotary phone, you can call us at 209-800-4637.
I love that you're laughing at that, Laura, because you're like, the rotary phone.
Wait. This isn't a camera one. I'm in my 40s.
Just so you guys know, maybe I didn't have the rotary phone, but I did grow up with the phone on the wall.
Yeah.
You know,
there was
one in the house, and you had to pull the cord that was like 25 feet long.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
our kids would never know that. Our kids
I have
no idea. Are the two lines and your mom picks up the call and you're like, Mom, I'm on the call. The other one.
Are you listening to me talk right now?
Yeah.
Because they might have had two phones in their house, which was special. So I love it. I love that you shared that, because there are people that use rotary phones for a variety of reasons. Sure. So share it all.
Include everybody.
Everybody. Yes. So I am so grateful that you joined me and that you shared this incredibly valuable information, and that we got to learn more about who you are and what that means to you and why it has meaning to you and how you are reaching out into the broader community to help support and lift those that have these needs, and they may not know where to go. And so they're looking, and now they know that you're here. Inclusion Matters Education Services exists, and you're here, and you are a powerful resource for good in this world. And so thank you for joining me on the podcast.
And thank you again for having us.
So much. This was great.
It really was great. And for listeners, you can also jump on Instagram and follow me at navigating.the.spectrum. Thanks again.